Welcome to the Green Screen of Death. My name is Adrian.
And my name is Bill.
So we're on episode 81.
No sports stars again.
That's right.
So we're back to the year 1981.
Yeah.
Some films you might have heard of.
Okay, yeah.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Nice.
It's a small little film.
Yeah, yeah.
Independent filmmaker.
That's right. Up and coming.
Speaking of indie filmmakers, Sam Raimi, The Evil Dead.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. Some little Australian film called The Road Warrior.
Oh, dude.
And Snake Plissken, baby. Escape from New York.
Oh, that's a hell of a year.
Good year for genre film.
That's awesome.
Yeah, some of the most influential genre films.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Right on.
Pretty good stuff.
That's awesome.
How you doing, man?
Good, good. Super Bowl was yesterday. We're recording this on Monday. And
so was that the best game ever?
It was really damn exciting.
It was good.
It's all offense, defense optional. It was only one punt.
Yeah, one punt the whole game.
And each team passed the ball to the quarterback.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
And Nick Foles had no problem throwing it to protection.
Yeah.
Like stupid protection.
Yeah.
That's why they won that game.
He was throwing into double coverage, tight windows. It was nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Super fun game. Who got smoked?
Brandon Cooks.
Oh.
That was sad.
Oh. Man. He didn't even see it coming.
He should have. He needs to have his head on a swivel.
Yeah.
In open field like that when he's stopping like that.
That was one of the worst hits I've seen all year.
It was bad.
It really reminded me that football is just a brutal game.
It is.
And we probably shouldn't be enjoying it as much as we are.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was bad. But yeah, sweet game.
Yeah.
Had a lot of fun. Yeah, I think it's probably the best game I've ever seen.
Nice.
Yeah, it was just never stopped.
Yeah.
It was good.
It moved fast, too.
Yeah.
There wasn't tons of stoppages in play. And, oh, man, I'm still paying for all the food I ate yesterday.
Nice.
I think you saw my picture of the food. I didn't take pictures as I was cooking them. And
Did you cook all those ribs?
Just two racks.
No.
just two. There's a third one I'm going to put in the freezer.
Jesus.
So yeah, we had two racks of ribs, I think 8 pounds of wings, and we went through about five or six of those.
Wow.
And a bunch of chips. I didn't even eat any chips. Ordered a couple pizzas. We went straight through those, and a lot of soda. And yeah, I'm hurting today, dude. There is such a thing as having too much hot sauce in one day.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
So on a scale of terrible to really terrible, how bad was Justin Timberlake?
Oh, man. That was one of the worst halftime shows I've seen.
Easily.
It was so boring.
Yeah. And supposedly they said his mic wasn't working or his earpiece wasn't working properly.
Oh.
And that's why he sounded so bad?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Well, it did look like he was very poorly lip syncing to his own music.
But yeah.
Whatever. I think that's part of show business. But that doesn't excuse, like, the previous 2 years, we saw Katy Perry set the world on fire with a freaking shark. And Lady Gaga jumped from, like, at least it looked like she jumped from, like, the roof of the stadium.
Yeah.
Which she didn't, but no, it looked like it.
And she was awesome.
And it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was so good. I was like, bring back Pitbull. Like, Pitbull did a better job than
Coldplay
this.
Coldplay was better.
Yeah. Britney Spears was better back in the day.
Yeah, like, and, you know, there's been some, like, all-time greats, like Prince.
Prince, yeah.
Bruce Springsteen was awesome.
Michael Jackson, I really enjoyed.
Yeah, and 111 million people saw Justin Timberlake bomb yesterday.
Big time.
And I went on Twitter and everybody's just like, oh my God, like Justin Timberlake. I wrote on Twitter, this show needs more Slayer.
Yeah,
and
dude.
It was so true. Like,
you needed something.
Slayer would have come out and like spat blood. It would have been sweet.
Flames in the air.
Yeah. Speaking of Slayer, their final concert tour ever.
Wow.
They're retiring.
Yeah.
I got tickets to the Vancouver show in May.
Sweet.
Fuck yes.
That's awesome, dude. Oh, congrats.
Yeah.
Oh, and we saw Queens of the Stone Age.
We saw Queens of the Stone Age.
That was pretty cool.
It was a cool show.
It's a good show.
I had some problems with the set list.
Oh, yeah.
In the middle, it played like four new songs in a row, and it kind of killed it.
Yeah, the momentum kind of halted there for a bit.
Then they played Sick, 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 and the whole crowd jumped again. It was great.
Oh, yeah.
But, cool. Yeah, some choice old stuff. Song for the Dead and Song for the Deaf.
Yeah, that was cool, dude.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I needed to hear that.
Yeah.
Say whatever you want to say about Josh Homme being an asshole.
Yeah.
Maybe he is, but I like the band. They're really good live.
Oh, hell yeah. And it seemed to me like he was at least somewhat apologetic during the show.
Yeah.
Like, he kind of hinted at things he's done recently that have not looked good, and he seemed ashamed of that. And I don't know if that's enough, but it was enough for me.
Yeah. Yeah, it was the first show after the whole incident with the kicking of the camera woman.
That's right.
So, yeah, it was an interesting show.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I quite liked it. Eagles of Death Metal opened for them,
yeah.
and they were better than the Queens of the Stone Age.
Yeah, they were pretty rocking.
They were awesome.
Yeah, that bass player, she played for Courtney Love before. And
nice.
I forgot who else, but she's played for some big bands. So I love a good bass solo. She fucking brought it, dude. It was so good. It
sounded like Black Sabbath or something when yeah. she was playing. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Did you have anything else?
What else? I got a couple things.
I got one more, but I'll say it to last.
Okay. Think I'm fully recovered from minor surgery, thank goodness.
Cool, man.
Up until maybe a week ago, I was still a little slow moving and kind of hurt to sit up and down, but not anymore, thank goodness. And also, I think I mentioned last episode, I ordered a PC. Well, it arrived, and I've been playing Overwatch and The Sims 4 ever since. And I picked up The Sims 4 Pets expansion pack. So, you know, I adopted a kitty right away.
Nice.
Been like feeding it and petting it and cuddling with it, and it's awesome. I love The Sims.
It's a little weird.
No way, dude. It's so awesome.
Nice.
So that's it for me. How about you?
It came out in the last week that one of Vancouver's beloved theaters might be shutting down, the Rio Theater. We talk about it quite a bit on this show. One of the great theaters for genre movies in Vancouver is up for sale, supposedly for $4 million, and the people who run that place probably can't afford a $4 million bill. So I don't know what's going to happen to the theater. I'm getting a little freaked out. It's a VIFF venue for the film festival. Great midnight movies. It sucks.
It does.
They're going to put a condo there? Like, yeah. Come on.
It's I think it's shameful what could happen, because it's such a huge part of the culture of Vancouver. Like, the every time I've been there, it's been busy. And people go to the midnight movies on every Friday night, is
yeah.
it? They play lots of great stuff. And it's not just movies, but they have, like, stage shows, and they cater to every walk of life there. And I love that about the Rio. I've always felt at home there. I've never felt like an outsider, even though I'm from Victoria. So
yeah, it's one of my favorite venues for sure, and I hope somebody steps up and buys it and then just says, okay, you guys can lease it for like a buck,
yeah.
as long as you pay the taxes or something like that every yeah. year. Yeah, it's sad, mm-hmm. and you know, it's what it is. It's all about money, man.
Yeah.
And I wish for luck. There's a petition going around. Sign mm-hmm. it.
Yeah,
don't know if it's gonna help, but we can
yeah.
always hope.
Yeah,
but yeah, save the Rio.
Hashtag save the Rio.
Yeah,
look into it. Even if you're not local to Vancouver, it's something that we all have to fight for, because we need these places. It's an institution, man.
Like, yeah.
There's a lot of people who get a lot out of that, and a lot of people who wait for it to be, you know, for second run movies to play there, and they just, that's their home. They love it there, and they love seeing movies there. They don't want to go to like a multiplex, which is just a faceless, shitty corporation that we all have to deal with. But over there, they have a choice.
I have drank a lot of beer at the Rio Theater.
Nice. I've had a couple. It's always fun.
No shame in my game, man. A lot of beer at the Rio Theater.
Yeah.
Had some grilled cheeses there, too.
Oh, yeah. Those are pretty good.
Yeah. But, yeah, definitely. Hashtag save the Rio. That's it for me, man.
Cool. All right. So let's move on to the next part of the show, the rant. This is where we rant about anything movie-related. Why don't you go first this time?
Sure. So if you were on film Twitter during the Super Bowl, the whole world exploded when Netflix more or less said, we're going to drop the next Cloverfield film right after the Super Bowl.
Boom.
And everybody's just like, oh my God. Guess Hell what, yeah. folks? Some people didn't think that was cool.
Oh, yeah.
What
yeah.
is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Like, no, that's like, it's the biggest day of the year, more or less, on television.
Yeah.
They say like 111 million people are watching the Super Bowl. And Netflix just did a coup, man. They got free advertising for their film. They paid like $7 million for the spot and got 100 million worth of advertising, at least.
Yeah, man.
Everybody went and watched that film afterwards.
Yeah.
Because it was the thing to do. Netflix did really well here, folks.
Yeah.
So why was everybody so pissed?
I don't get it. So they're like, oh, I want to see it in the theater.
You know what, though? We watched the film.
Yeah, yeah.
Comments in a bit.
Yeah, shortly.
Comments in a bit. But I think it's the future.
It is. I think so, too.
I love that they're so ballsy. They can be like, boom, motherfucker, here's our film.
Yeah, I think that's awesome.
That's wicked.
That was really exciting. And you know me, I'm a big-time Cloverfield fan. I'm all about it. And that excited me so much. Like, while I was watching the game, I was like, oh, yeah, Cloverfield movie right after this.
This Super Bowl is so great. And then we get to watch watch Cloverfield.
Yeah, dude, a new Cloverfield movie.
Fuck yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
The fact that they can do that, that's cool. And they just totally destroyed everybody, including Amazon, Hulu, HBO, arguably Mission Impossible, maybe even Star Wars.
Yeah.
They won the night in terms of entertainment.
Like, do you think that Amazon's going to, like, yo, we got the big sick. We're not going to put it in the theaters. We're going to put it straight on Amazon.
Yeah.
They're not going to do that.
No.
Netflix doesn't care.
Yeah.
They are the future, folks. They can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
Making tons of money, getting lots of movies in their catalog. Boom. Awesome. Comments on the film later, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Rant out.
That conversation might be a little bit different.
A little bit different.
The fact that they did it is awesome.
That's so good.
Yeah. My rant is also tied in with the Cloverfield paradox and other movies over the last year or so. Just because a movie is progressive doesn't mean we're required to enjoy it or praise it. We're here to review movies based on our reactions, not because it's directed by, you know, a visible minority, for example. Hell, I'm a First Nations guy. I've given bad reviews to movies produced, directed, written by, starring First Nations people. It doesn't give me a great feeling to do that, but I'm going to be honest about my thoughts on movies all the time. At the same time, I'm going to be as respectful as I can. I'm not here to lie to our listeners. I'm not here to dilute the waters of what we do here.
But dude, the worst thing about it is when you're good about First Nations films, First Nations people yell at you.
That's true.
That's really fucked.
That was weird.
That was really weird.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I praised Wind River.
You can't win.
That's true. That's really true. But it's felt like within the last year or two, and I may get myself in trouble for saying this, but it feels like there's a feeling among the collective that we have to rally for these movies that are female driven, directed, written by a black person, has a homosexual director or writer, something like that. It feels like we're obligated to praise it for those reasons. Where sure, we can do that, but the movie has to be good too. And we've had our share of movies we've celebrated.
Hey, I'm the white guy who didn't like Star Wars.
That's true. That's a rare breed.
Like, seriously?
Yeah.
That's not cool in the nerd community.
Yeah.
At that podcast, I came straight out and said I didn't like Star Wars, and you guys were shocked.
That's true. And on second viewing, I enjoyed it less, for sure.
But you are so right, man. The movie has to be good. I go in with, like, nothing.
Yeah.
Show me your film. I will rate the film.
Yeah.
None of the surrounding stuff. Just the film.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we always say, separating the art from the asshole watching a Woody Allen film.
Yeah.
I just watched a Woody Allen film,
mm-hmm.
Wonder Wheel, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I just watched it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even care if it was a Woody Allen film.
Yeah.
It wasn't a very good film.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with Woody Allen.
Exactly, yeah.
Just didn't like the film.
Yeah.
We're pretty cool about that. We're no bullshit. We just tell the truth on this show.
Yeah.
That's what I like about our show.
Yeah. I even had a friend approach me immediately after his movie played at a film festival and asked, what did you think of the movie? And I kind of like said, yeah, I wasn't a fan, dude. That was brutal.
Yeah.
But I was honest with him. Like, we're not here to lie. So that's my rant. We're not here to be in the woke Olympics. We will never participate in the woke Olympics.
But you know what? That being said, if there's a really good movie by a woman, I'm going to try to really praise it hard.
Yeah.
If there's a really great movie by a visible minority, like a gay male, like say Moonlight
last year,
I praise the hell out of that film. Yeah. I go way above my duty to make sure those movies are really well known.
Yeah.
Like Ava DuVernay's got a new movie coming out next month.
Yeah.
If that movie hits, it's all I'm going to talk about.
Yeah.
Because I want to praise that stuff.
Yeah.
It just has to be a good movie.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing. Like, we've championed movies like Wonder Woman and Raw. And yeah, like you said, Moonlight, BPM. We're both big champions of that film. It's just weird to feel obliged to enjoy something for X reason that has nothing to do with the actual movie.
Nah, man. Just keep on telling the truth.
Yeah, for sure.
If you like it, say you like it. If you don't, say you don't.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's all I want from you.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's all you want from me. So.
Exactly. Exactly.
We're going to get in trouble, but I don't
care. We are. Yeah. Before we dig ourselves further in the grave, let's move into...
I don't think that was that bad.
Yeah.
We just said what we've always said. We just tell the truth.
Yeah. Okay. So let's move on to our first review of the show. And we should also note this show might be a little bit lighter than usual. That's because all the movies are really bad this time of year.
Nothing opened.
And nothing opened.
One movie opened this weekend and nothing opened the weekend before.
Yeah. Well, two movies opened.
What was the other one?
The Cloverfield.
Oh yeah,
well, Paradox.
I mean, like, theatrically.
I know. I'm being a jerk.
Like, legit, last night I was going to, like, talk to Adrian and go, yo, I know we said we would, like, record every 2 weeks, but there's nothing to record about. Like, and then, then that the movie got announced, and Adrian was like, Cloverfield!
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay, I guess we're recording.
We are recording. So, our first review is Winchester.
So, why all the noise? Why all this construction?
They want me to build, Doctor. The spirits. Killed by the rifle. They guide me.
Guide you in drawing building plans?
Yes. You see, once their rooms are completed, their presence grows stronger.
Hence the house that spirits built.
Yes. At the chime of midnight, they clamor. The bells summon them. They communicate through plans, drawings.
Okay, so what is this movie all about?
So, this movie is directed by Michael and Peter Spierig, who've made a couple good movies. Do you like Daybreakers from a couple years ago?
Oh, Daybreakers rules.
Ethan Hawke, good film. Yeah. Did you see Predestination a couple years ago?
No, I still haven't.
So good.
Yeah.
So, this one's got Helen Mirren in it.
Yeah.
What? Jason Clarke and Sarah Snook, who's an Australian actress I quite like. An eccentric firearm heiress, believes she is haunted by the souls of the people killed by Winchester rifles. Wow, this is stupid. Ooh. Stupid. IMDb. okay, so is it wrong that I really instead just wanted to see a documentary about this really cool house this film is in?
Yeah.
Because the rest of it, like, the movie's actually really stupid and dumb.
It is.
But damn, did I like the house.
The house is cool.
And it's like the coolest thing I've seen in a movie in a very long time. But fuck, this movie's terrible.
It's so bad.
Yeah.
Concept is awesome. It's
just,
the execution is terrible. And you mentioned the house. How many rooms did we actually see in the movie?
I don't know, like 5 or 6.
Yeah, maybe.
It was a very close set, I'm guessing.
And it took place in like 3 or 4 rooms for the most part.
Yeah.
It's like, how are you going to market this as like this 100-room house that's haunted, the most haunted house in America, and it takes place in just a few rooms?
But they do. So but they do a bunch of aerial shots of the actual house.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was cool.
Wow.
Multiple floors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm betting there's a YouTube documentary or something like that.
That'd be cool.
Somebody's gone through that house and got lost.
That's right.
Looks pretty cool.
Uploaded it to YouTube as their last thing they did.
So yeah, this movie's just a bunch of like really goofy jump scares, mostly aided by volume jumps.
Yeah.
My least favorite jump scare of all time, because it makes you jump even though you know it's going to come because it's just so loud.
Yeah, it hurts your ears.
It's cheap.
Yeah.
Predictable storylines that are foreshadowed like an hour before they happen. Like, legit, if you don't figure this film out 45 minutes in, your popcorn must have been really good because you were paying way too much attention to it.
That's true.
Yeah. You know, the house is awesome, and, you know, Helen Mirren, Jason Clarke aren't bad. They just have nothing.
Yeah, I have that written down almost word for word. They tried with the little work there, the little material they had, but they're screwed.
Yeah. It's not badly shot.
Yeah.
It actually looks
competently
pretty,
shot, yeah, I would say.
And lots of natural light being used, I thought was really cool. But yeah, it's just really dumb.
It is.
But yeah, Helen Mirren with her like kind of off American accent where she's like trying to sound Southern but not.
Yeah.
Sometimes she sounds Southern and sometimes she doesn't.
Yeah.
Kind of weird.
It is.
There's this little boy in it who I think was actually kind of cool. He has like really weird bowl haircut. He looked kind of creepy.
And they dyed his hair with like Kool-Aid or something. It was so bad. That kept removing me from the movie. I was like, oh, here's that kid with that really bad red wig or whatever they put on him.
And he's the one that always seems to get possessed and his eyes go all white.
Yeah.
Which is like a total homage to the Lucio Fulci film, The Beyond.
Okay.
From the 70s.
Oh, nice.
It's a really gross horror film. Yeah. Italian horror film.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's if this film is any good, I've said this a lot lately. It would have opened 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Not now.
Yeah.
This is the dumping ground.
Yeah.
We are in the middle of the dumping ground yeah. right now.
The studio knew what they had, and it was nothing. So they're like, okay, let's bury it in February. Or was it January, I guess. Whatever the case, it's such a bad movie. I will give it credit for one particular scare that worked well on me. Even though I hated this movie, it's not a green light for me to spoil the movie. I think that's kind of our stance on this podcast. But there was one particular thing that evaded me with one of the characters. There's a little bit of a reveal that did shock me, and it did scare me in the moment. And but after that, it was just gone because they fired their one shot. Then it just became terrible.
Wow, that got you?
It did.
Wow,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming. And yeah, maybe I was enjoying my popcorn.
Yeah.
Or poutine. I had poutine that night.
Nice.
So, yeah. It's a bad movie, though.
Yeah.
It's so bad.
Yeah, it's legit. If we didn't have to do a show, I wouldn't have seen that film.
Yeah.
And so this is the horror film that I don't like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I knew it would be cheap, stupid jump scares. Adrian would love it, but he didn't.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, it's like, it's not terrible, but it's like a 2 out of 5 all day.
Yeah.
Nothing terrible, but you might enjoy it while stoned on Netflix in 6 months.
Yeah.
Because that's where it's going to be.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. But not worth the price of admission.
Yeah, like nothing is opening. Like Jumanji's been like the number one film 7 weeks in a row.
That's crazy. Because
nothing is opened.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Yeah. Guess what? Black Panther is going to destroy everything.
Hell yeah.
In 2 weeks.
So. Bring it on, dude.
Yeah, I can't wait. But yeah, it's not a bad film, but it's not very good either.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so let's move on to our next review. The second main review, the last main review of the show.
It's so weird.
It is weird. We usually do 3 a show, but this one is called The Cloverfield Paradox.
I have to be quick. Whatever you're doing right now, stop. Go to your children right now. Kiss them. Hold them for as long as you can. That's all there is.
Okay, so what is this movie all about?
So, orbiting a planet on the brink of war, scientists test a device to solve an energy crisis and end up forcing a dark alternate reality. Thank you, IMDb.
Yeah.
Directed by Julius Ona, Gugu Mbatha-Raw, Daniel Brühl, David Oyelowo, Chris O'Dodd, and the great Zhang Ziyi.
Dude, that's a hell of a cast.
I love Zhang Ziyi.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Zhang Ziyi in a while, probably since The Grandmaster.
Yeah.
The Wong Kar-wai film?
Yeah.
And she, you know, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, this, yeah. We were really high about the marketing and how they did a really amazing job to get everybody to watch this film. God, I wish the film had been better.
It was, oh man. Yeah, exactly.
So this was a movie called God Particle.
That's right.
It was by Paramount. It was way over budget. And then Paramount dumped it onto Netflix. Netflix reshot some stuff and made it a Cloverfield film.
That's right.
And you can really tell where the reshoots have come.
Oh, yeah.
It's 2 separate films, more or less.
Yeah.
One in space and one on Earth. And I think pretty much everything on Earth was reshoots.
Yeah.
And a few things in space.
Yeah, there's a B-plot on Earth where I'm like, okay, so they didn't have enough material. So they just tried to create this bit of drama and story on Earth. But none of it was interesting. Like, even in the slightest. So bad.
So I will say what does work is the cast. I like the cast. I think Gugu Mbatha-Raw is a really good actress. I'm going to praise her. I think she's really good in the film, actually. I felt emotionally attached to her. Out of any of the characters, she was the one I actually kind of liked. And she was the main character, so that worked.
Okay, I was going to ask you, who was the main character? Because I didn't think there was a main character in this movie.
She was.
Okay, technically.
Yeah. which is awesome, because it's an African-American female in the lead. That never happens in a big Hollywood film. That's awesome. Yeah, I love that. A Nigerian director? That's really cool.
That's cool.
He only had made music videos before.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I like that. A Chinese woman who doesn't speak English, speaks Cantonese, and they all speak Cantonese back to her.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's really cool.
I love that.
Yeah.
Like, I should be digging this film.
Oh, totally.
And Chris O'Dodd is awesome. Yeah. He's hilarious in the film. He's actually really funny in the film. He has a couple of really great one-lines that just steal the movie.
Oh, totally.
He's so charismatic.
Yeah.
You can't help but just, you know, love him. But it's just the plot's so crap.
Yeah. Oh, big time.
nothing is really explained. And by that, I mean nothing is explained. There's some sci-fi shit in this film. You get no explanation for it.
Oh, yeah.
It just happens, and it's just like, oh, yeah, we forgot about that.
Yeah. Some crazy shit happens to some of the people there. You're like, whoa, that was cool. And then it's never talked about again.
Yeah.
And you're just like, what was that?
So, yeah, both of the stories, the Earth and the space, they both lost me. Like, there was nothing. The one on Earth was about one of the space people's husband is on the ground, and he's trying to get to a hospital to, like, help save people, but he gets caught in the middle of a bunch of stuff, and it's the Cloverfield stuff.
Yeah.
They had to put some kind of monster stuff into the film, so that's what that is. Yeah. Reshoots.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't a Cloverfield film.
That's right.
And the space stuff was just a bunch of mumbo-jumbo about them trying to get some energy, and they do a time jump, and all of a sudden people have things inside of them, and it's not explained, and people have stuff that happened to them, and it's not explained, and I'm just like, you lost me. Why is this even here?
Yeah.
But, as I said, I like the cast. It's better than, say, that really crappy film Life last year.
I loved Life. Well, not Life. I enjoyed Life.
It's better than that film. That movie sucked.
That movie was awesome, dude.
Yeah. I just wish the first, like, Netflix holy shit drop film was a better quality.
Absolutely.
I wish it had been, you know, something like Mudbound.
Yeah.
So 110 million people could have watched Mudbound.
Oh, totally.
That would have been amazing.
Or Okja.
Yeah. That would have been the perfect film.
Yeah.
It would have destroyed everybody, but would have been like, they would have all been like, holy shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, this wasn't the film.
Yeah.
And that kind of makes me sad. I just it has to be a better film.
It does. It really does. I think lower on the film. I didn't enjoy any of the characters. I enjoyed what they stood for and everything you talked about, you know, a black woman leading the mission, being the quote unquote main star of the show. I just thought they split up the attention too much with all the characters. Like, they tried to touch base with all of them and tried to give them all their sort of guitar solo. And while doing that, they just made them all less interesting. And I didn't care for anybody in that movie, not a single bit. Like, it was poorly written, and I'm sorry to say this, is really poorly directed, poorly edited. It's a bad movie. It's a real bad movie. And you know,
did you at least think it looked okay?
It looked fine.
Yeah.
It was, you know, they did get the color, like the lighting and the color timing down.
The spaceship looked good.
Yeah, it looked passable. But man, like, all those people involved, like, how do you mess up that bad? It's embarrassing.
10 Cloverfield Lane worked because it was a contained area and it had nothing to do with Cloverfield.
Yeah, exactly.
Other than the fact that they had to be stuck in a basement.
Yeah.
And it kind of added some terror to it.
Mm-hmm.
This just felt added on. Yeah. Like, there was nothing that even remotely had anything to do with Cloverfield.
Yeah. They tried to sort of tie it in and it was just sloppy, and like the way they tied it together, I was not a fan of that. I was just like, ugh, get me out of this movie, dude.
And you know what else? Some new phenomenon last night. This never happens, right? The film is released and then like 2 hours later, it is spoiled so hard on Twitter.
Yeah.
Because everybody hates it so much that everybody has to tell the world about how much they hate it and why they hate it.
Yeah.
Usually there's like a press screening in like 2 weeks and then it opens for people to spoil it in that 2 weeks. This took 2 hours.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was announced like an hour later it played and then bam, everybody's talking about it. And one thing I wanted to mention is, if anybody's unfamiliar with my thoughts on the Cloverfield franchise, like I kind of mentioned, I'm a huge fan. I went back into my Twitter profile. I'll just read you some of my fangirl tweets about Cloverfield. So the first one, I said, I love Cloverfield. I consider it one of the best found footage films of all time. I talked about my excitement for the trailer for 10 Cloverfield Lane. And then after the movie, I said, saw it twice, loved it even more the second time. That was for 10 Cloverfield Lane. My first reaction to the Cloverfield Paradox, I said, the Cloverfield Paradox is indeed a feature-length movie. With a shrug emoticon, because that was kind of all I was left with, was going, well, that was technically a movie.
Wow.
Huge disappointment. It should be a layup for a fan like me, but they fucked this one up real bad. And everybody who was involved with this fucked up big time.
Wow. Preach.
Yeah.
I'm not as hard hard on it as you are, but I still didn't like it. So I got nothing bad to say about what you're saying, because I still didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Pass. Yeah, pass. Pass.
Hard pass.
Hard pass. Okay, so let's move on to our next part of the show, the movie club. This is where Bill picks a movie, we watch it, and we talk about it here. Bill always picks movies he somehow knows I haven't seen them before. Sometimes I straight up tell him, or he sees it on Twitter, that I haven't seen such and such movie. And it's a great way of looking at classic movies or even recent movies that have escaped me for various reasons, usually because I'm lazy. So this episode's movie is Suspiria. You know a lot more about this movie, so why don't you tell our listeners about this? And be warned, we probably will get into spoiler territory a bit, because it is a bit of an older movie, right?
Yeah, for sure. So it's from 1977, from the director Dario Argento, and the basic plot is a newcomer comes to a prestigious ballet academy. She comes to realize that the school is a front for something sinister. The only really main like star is Jessica Harper, and Udo Kier is in it too.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, a very young Udo Kier. So I also I'm gonna say that the DP was Luciano Tavoli, because that guy is a goddamn genius.
Absolutely.
So are we back on track, sir? After the last episode, we had that weird little blip.
That's right.
Are we cool now?
Absolutely, man.
Because as I said, if you didn't like Suspiria, movie club might be done.
That's right. Right. This movie owns, dude. It is so beautiful. And like, a lot of horror films have straight up lifted from this one.
But never done it quite like this.
Not as good.
Nobody's ever done it like this.
That's right.
And nobody had before or after. Like, it's just that film.
Yeah.
For a horror film, it's that film.
Oh, totally.
Which is so weird.
Yeah, yeah.
Argento was kind of known as like the European Hitchcock with violence before this. He did a lot of like really cool, suspenseful little films. And then he made this one.
Yeah.
Which has a kind of a goofy plot. It's really badly ADR'd.
Yeah.
But holy shit, this is like the Terrence Malick film of horror.
Absolutely.
It's all just like pretty vistas in a Terrence Malick film, where this is like people getting killed in the weirdest colors and the most outrageously done up rooms ever done in the history of film.
Yeah. The color palette is, it's intense, man.
So yeah, he shot on Technicolor film, which is a three-strip film.
Right.
So you get all the colors. You get like, I think it's red, green, and blue.
Okay, yeah.
And when you combine it, it makes the film. So you can push stuff with the stock.
Okay.
Which is why sometimes the reds are like red.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, never seen that before.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's I don't know what they were thinking when they started thinking about this film, but they did something really revolutionary here. Like, this, I've never seen color like this before. It's stunning.
Absolutely.
And it makes the film.
Yeah.
The plot's a little wacky, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
It's not the greatest horror film ever made plot-wise.
Yeah.
But if you watch Suspiria and don't get something out of the look and the feel and the fucking score.
The score, dude.
Is a character in the film.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you. This is like one of the greatest horror films ever made.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I fully agree, man. Like on the last episode, you built up the opening 15 minutes as a masterpiece in horror.
Yeah, I said it's probably like one of the best 15 minutes in horror film ever.
Yeah, and it really is.
Yeah.
Like, I was just like, holy shit. Like, most filmmakers can't even dream of making something that outstanding, something that stands out in this genre as something completely unique.
Like, you know, you're in for something weird when she's walking towards the doors, and every time the doors open, the score plays.
Yeah.
It's so odd.
It's weird.
Yeah. And you're like, well, what's going on? Like, and the color is like, why is everything so red?
Yeah. Yeah. And the dialogue, you can hear little bits of the girl who's leaving, and it adds to that mystery. You're kind of confused. You're going, what's happening here? And that isolation is what I felt. One of the biggest feelings I took away from the opening is just being isolated, being somewhere you've never been before, at night, somewhere dangerous, and it freaked the shit out of me, man.
She jumps in the taxi and turns her head, and it's like pouring rain, and he pushes the red, and the rain becomes blood red.
Yeah.
And then it becomes green, yeah, and then blue. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, you're a genius.
Yeah. It's so cool.
It works so well. And then, you know, she gets to the ballet academy and doesn't get let in. And the woman comes out and she runs to her friend's house and walks in that building. That building.
Oh, yeah.
Holy crap. What was he on when he designed that building? Yeah. It's all like triangles and weird colors.
Weird shapes.
And like stained glass ceiling, which comes into very great use about 2 minutes later.
Oh, yeah.
In one of the cooler death scenes ever in a horror film.
Yeah.
Where this hand grabs this woman through a window and pushes her face into glass.
Yeah.
Which is such an awesome scene.
It's a crazy image.
Just her face being like pressed into the glass is such an amazing scene. Like, this, holy crap. Like, this is next level stuff.
Yeah.
And then he puts her through the stained glass, hangs her. And it's such an amazing scene.
Yeah.
She just lies on the stained glass and it just kind of starts to break.
Yeah.
Slowly. Her head goes through, and then it starts to crack. And I'm just like, oh my God, this is so good.
Yeah. You could, in the same sense as that Psycho documentary, 7852, you could have a documentary like that for the opening 15 minutes, just talking about the technique, just the way they build the scares. Like, the thing with the window that really channeled something that scares me at a very basic level. I've mentioned before, I'm afraid of the dark. So when you're in a room that's well lit, looking out into darkness, you can't see what's out there. And that feeling, man, I hate that feeling. It freaks me the hell out. And of course, the hand goes through the window and grabs her. I like almost jumped out of my couch. It freaked the shit out of me.
Meanwhile, that goblin score is just going boom, 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 boom. I was just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, I rewatched it a couple days ago, and I have the score on my iPod, and I was just cranking the shit out of that. Just such a like iconic score.
Yeah.
Goblin did all the scores for the earlier Argento films, and they're all really amazing scores.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So then there's some plot, you know. She goes to the ballet stuff, she gets like all drugged up, and she becomes a detective.
Yeah, that's right. She does.
This weird detective story.
Yeah.
But during that, did you notice how the colors never pushed during the day?
Oh, I didn't notice that.
All the colors were very normal.
I didn't notice that.
And then as soon as it hits the night,
it's to the extreme.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's so cool.
Yeah.
And just how it all kind of starts to come into place, like a dog kills some dude on an awesome crane shot.
Yeah.
Such an amazing shot. I don't know how he did that one either.
It was miniatures.
It must have literally been a crane, because there was no drones back then.
Yeah. That's what I was saying to Sarah. I was like, that was a cool drone shot.
No drones.
Yeah.
But it gets a little wacky at the end. There's some really cool stuff with razor wire, which I really like.
Oh, that was fucked up.
Such a wicked scene.
Yeah.
The stuff with the people at the end, I don't want to ruin the ending for you.
Yeah.
That stuff was really awesome.
Yeah.
And as I said, the goblin score is boom, 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 just killing it.
Yeah.
And you know what? I love the ending.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no fucks given on the ending.
Yeah.
The building's on fire. She exits the building.
Yeah.
Credits.
Boom. Yeah. Not done.
No fat in this film.
Yeah.
She just goes, credits.
Yeah.
Love it.
That's cool. I have that written down, is that this movie is super tight. It's quick and easy to watch. Like, it's 92-minute runtime, I believe.
Yeah.
And yeah, they don't fuck around in this one, man. Like, it's just everything has momentum, and that every scene means something, and it's building towards something. And that's what I really appreciated about it. There was no filler in this movie, like, at all. I appreciate that.
If I was to say to you, what film did Dario Argento use as his template for the look, according to interviews, what movie do you think that Dario Argento used for the color palette?
Oh, man. I'm not well versed in pre-77 cinema.
I'll have to put you out of your misery.
Okay, yeah.
Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Oh, no way. Wow.
The Disney animated
no
film.
No fucking way.
No fucking way. I'm not crazy. Joking. Yeah, supposedly he it was also a Technicolor film. It had the weird coloring in it. He really wanted to use that kind of look, how everything was just kind of like boom, boom, color-wise.
Yeah.
Such a weirdo. Like,
yeah.
That's like not the same film.
Oh, yeah.
And he's just, that's his inspiration.
That's cool.
But good on Dario.
That's awesome.
As I said, I think it's one of the greatest horror films of all time, even with that bad ADR, which is really funny. I laughed pretty hard, because I don't know if Sarah watched it with you.
She did, yeah.
That line in the film, like, everybody whose name starts with an S is a snake.
Oh, I didn't notice that. Yeah. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
I did read something online because I quickly searched like Suspiria stuff online, and I saw that because it was all ADR, that was all planned. And for Udo Kier's scene, he had like an assistant reading him his lines, and he was saying them, and the assistant was just off camera, and they were like, oh yeah, just say the lines and we're not recording sound here, just say it and we'll record ADR after. And a lot of the apparently a lot of the actors spoke different languages.
Yeah, they were told to speak their natural language, so it could have been English, German, Italian. Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts.
I think it's awesome though, like there's something really cool about the way they made it work through just dubbing over them. It shouldn't work. That no. Usually pisses me off, but it works in this one.
Yeah, I'm glad you dug it.
Yeah, dude, it's such a good movie.
That's cool.
Yeah, I kept, as I was watching, I was thinking of some movies where I was like, yeah, this modern movie doesn't exist without this. And I kept thinking of the Neon Demon, just the way the style and the colors pop in Neon Demon.
Yep.
I definitely thought of the Neon Demon, like reffing, you know, borrowing, stealing from Suspiria and who knows what else.
But you know what? Not getting it quite as good as this.
Yeah, nowhere near.
No.
But it was still beautiful.
Yeah, it's still obviously beautiful, but yeah. Nobody's ever done this before.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of those films. And let me tell you, that freaking Blu-ray.
Yeah.
The new Synapse 4K restoration of Suspiria is worth what I think I paid like $80 for it.
Yeah.
And I think it might be out of print now. It was only like 6,000 made.
Yeah.
They're coming out with a one disc edition sooner than later. But man, get it.
Yeah.
Like, it's beautiful.
Yeah, last I checked, I think it was $120.
Oh,
and I'm considering it.
So it must phone Videomatica in Vancouver, they might still have copies. Okay,
yeah, for but, sure.
Yeah, it's well worth your time.
Totally.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, it was probably my favorite Blu-ray of last year.
Nice.
Yeah,
it's amazing, dude. And yeah, I love the whole mystery of the movie, because they don't really tell you what's going on. They just give you little snippets and creepy stuff, like the stuff, what was that, in like a hall or a gymnasium? They set up all the beds because they had that maggot infestation.
Oh, so good, eh?
Oh, man. There's like some images in there that will be in my head forever,
and
dude.
And that freaking room with all the beds in it, it's just like red.
Yeah. And nobody says anything. They're just like talking like it's normal. And of course, that one girl, her name's Sarah, right? She's her.
Yeah.
Her one friend there tells her kind of a creepy story. And it was like telling somebody a ghost story, like while they're camping. And yeah, that woman named Sarah, oh man, I had a big time crush on her. Like every time she showed up on screen, I was just like, wow, she's so pretty. Like everybody in this movie is very pretty. Man, I love this movie though, dude. Yeah. It's right up there for all of our movie club movies. How many have we had now?
I don't know, but it must be getting close to 60 now.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we passed the 50 mark.
Yeah, we definitely did. We had that top 10 list.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Suspiria would definitely be in that mix.
Cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, back on track, man. That's awesome.
Well, I'm happy.
Yeah.
I really am. So every year around this time, I seem to pick a movie from the year before that Adrian might have missed. I did like Mustang a couple years ago.
That's right.
I forget last year's one, but I always do this. So this year, Adrian's going to watch a film from my top 10 that he didn't see.
That's right.
Columbus.
Cool.
Movie I've been kind of pimping up since September.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw it at a film festival at VIFF, and my number 10 film of the year.
That's awesome.
I think.
Nice.
I hope you really like it.
Yeah.
I think it's a genius film.
Cool.
If you don't cry, there's something wrong with you.
Something wrong. All right.
And absolutely embrace the greatness of Haley Lou Richardson.
Yeah, man.
She's, as I said, she should win the Oscar this year.
Yeah.
And nobody even saw the film because they don't have a budget to send out DVDs and take people to parties.
Yeah, because that's all award season's all
that's
about.
That's all it is. So yeah, Columbus.
Cool.
Enjoy.
Columbus. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely check it out. Yeah, excited for this one. I was going to watch it the day we were recording our top 10, but I was like, no, I don't want to feel rushed. I don't want to kind of be distracted thinking, oh, is this going to make the cut? So I was like, I'll just watch it whenever it comes to me. So here's my chance.
Cool.
And just another heads up, you know, with Movie Club, we always encourage anybody who's listening to join Movie Movie Club, and you can do that by watching any of the movies we've recommended through Movie Club. Just send us your thoughts on Suspiria or anything else we've talked about. It could be Houseu or what else have we had? Breaking the Waves, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
And we've got over 50 movies in our Movie Club. Maybe we'll post a link somewhere. So send us your thoughts and we'll read them on the show. That'd be pretty cool to hear from you.
Yeah.
Okay, so we can move on to Lightning Round. This one's pretty light, right?
Nothing's open.
That's right.
Like, everything I've watched has either been, like, on television, like Netflix, or some sort of streaming. Like, I have HBO streaming. I watched a couple of docs on there.
Cool.
But yeah, this is pretty light. Usually I have, like, 10 things.
Yeah.
I have 3 things.
Cool. Do you want to start us off? I have 1 thing.
Nice. I watched a documentary called May It Last, a portrait of the Avett Brothers, who are a country band, a band I'd never really heard of. But the documentary was directed by Judd Apatow, which kind of got my interest. It's actually a pretty good documentary. Not my kind of music. I don't like the music at all. But they're a super interesting band led by 2 brothers, which usually means they hate each other.
Oh, right.
These guys actually like each other.
Cool.
And they're a really cool band. They kind of won me over in the end music-wise, too. They're
nice.
Good harmonies. They're really good players. But yeah, it's a really nice documentary about how, making one of their albums. I really liked it. It's called May It Last. It's on HBO.
Cool.
The second HBO one I watched was David Bowie, The Last 5 Years.
Okay.
Which was exactly what it says. Him in the last 5 years of his life, still making art and being a dude who challenged everybody artistically. He was kind of a genius. And I watched this and I'm like, damn, we could have had so many more movies and CDs and whatever from David Bowie. I wish he hadn't died. Such a genius.
Yeah, that one hurt for sure.
Yeah. But yeah, it's... did you like the David Bowie cover during the Eagles of Death Metal?
That was awesome.
So good.
I was very moved by that, yeah, for sure.
Good stuff. It's on HBO. It's pretty good. And my last thing I watched, our local film festival is going on right now. We don't like it.
That's right.
So I hate saying that, too.
Yeah.
We should be the ones like making people go.
Yeah.
But it's poorly run. The people who run it think they're really great,
mm-hmm.
and they think it's Sundance.
Yeah, and they've jerked me around a couple times. Like I went as press a couple of years, and the first year they just gave me passes. They gave me tickets. They didn't give me a badge, so I had to wait in line. And
meanwhile, everybody else who had press status got a badge.
That's right. Yeah, I didn't understand that.
This is why I never apply for press to this festival. Yeah.
And then the next year I got a badge. Woo, big deal.
Congratulations, sir.
They said, here's a list of screeners we have. Do you want to watch any of these before the festival? And I said, yes, I would like to watch these movies. And they said, oh, those aren't available. And I said, oh, why'd you list them then? They're like, oh, we had limited number of copies of them, but we have these ones. And I said, sure, I'll watch those. And I was just like, you know what? That's not cool, dude.
We've recorded an episode where we just shit all over them.
Yeah.
We're not doing that anymore.
No. Why bother? Yeah.
So I saw the one movie I wanted to see.
Okay.
The new Michael Roskam film, The Racer and the Jailbird, with Matthias Schoenaerts and Adele Exarchopoulos from Blue is the Warmest Color. Adele is the racer. She's a car racer.
Okay.
Which is pretty cool. And Matthias Schoenaerts is the jailbird bank robber, and they have an irresistible love that cannot be stopped by anything.
Oh.
Including Matthias Schoenaerts doing a lot of thieving.
Okay.
They're really pretty on screen. It's really nice looking. It's shot well. It's not a bad film. It's not a great film either, but it's not bad. I didn't mind it at all, actually.
Cool.
It was light entertainment.
Yeah.
It's Neon has it.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea when it's coming out.
Okay.
So that is it for me.
Cool.
Usually I have more.
Yeah, that's right.
But I've been playing South Park, the Fractured Butthole.
That's true. That's awesome.
On PS4.
That's awesome.
When Adrian came over, I was playing it, and my character went into a church.
Whoa, dude, what is this?
South Park game was really harsh.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Oof. Yeah. So I have, how do I follow that up?
You probably can't.
I can't. I watched one thing on Netflix. That was the TV series, The End of the Fucking World.
Oh, I seen that.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah.
What did you think?
I liked it.
Yeah,
me too. I like the kids.
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah. I especially like the girl.
Yeah, she's outstanding.
Yeah, really, really sassy.
Yeah. Yeah, she's got a lot of energy, a lot lot of character she brings to the screen.
As of right now, there's no season two, by the way.
Yeah. I think I'm okay with that.
Really?
Yeah.
It's kind of an ambiguous ending shot, don't you think?
It is. I enjoyed that, though.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, that's cool. If it ends there, I'm cool with that. But I guess it's based on a graphic novel. So,
yeah.
But yeah, it's about a couple kids who have really messed up lives at home. And the boy dreams of killing somebody, like fantasizes about killing somebody. And then he decides she's going to be the one he kills. And she, what's her thing? She just doesn't care about anything in the world kind of thing. And she's kind of attracted to him because he's weird and stuff. And the two of them make this kind of strange couple. They go on adventures and stuff happens.
Steal cars and
yeah. Goes sideways at one point. And I had a lot of fun watching it. I thought all of the characters, all the bit characters even, were extremely memorable and just really funny. Like if I tell you I'm thinking about the kid at the gas station, you know exactly who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It was so good. I really enjoyed it. And it's a quick watch. It's what? Excuse me. 8 episodes? 20 minutes each?
6?
Or was it 6?
I guess 6.
Okay. So it's about the length of a movie. Long movie, maybe. But, yeah, it's worth checking out. I think you might like it. If you're a bit of a weirdo, you might enjoy this one.
Yeah. Is that it?
That's it for me, man.
Jeez, man.
that's the lightest lightning round, I think, of all time.
Quick and dirty.
That's right.
All right, so it picks up.
Cool. So what do we have coming out?
All right, so February 9th, Clint Eastwood is back.
Oh.
The 1517 to Paris, which is like a train hostage movie with the people who were actually in the real hostage situation being the actors.
Oh, I heard about this.
Yeah. Could be cool. Could be really bad.
It could be.
Can they act?
We'll see.
I guess we'll see. I'm sure it'll be a typical Clint Eastwood movie. Lots of rah-rah American stuff. Like American Sniper.
Yeah.
Fuck. I don't want to see this. You're going to see it. You're going to go with Sarah on date night.
Yeah.
50 Shades Freed.
Hell yeah, I'm going to see that.
I don't really want to see it.
You must.
I know.
It's the conclusion.
I have to finish the trilogy.
Yeah.
See, my confession is that I've always kind of liked Dakota Johnson in these movies. I thought she's been good. It's just Jamie Dornan looks like he's not even like in the same movie. He's so disinterested.
Yeah, he's an empty vessel.
Yeah. And I heard they hate each other in real life.
And it shows.
Yeah, it shows.
Yeah.
They have no chemistry at all.
Dude.
Which makes it pretty much unwatchable.
The last one they made was a comedic masterpiece. Like, when she drew a circle over his heart, and like 3 days of movie time goes by, and the lipstick is still over his heart, I just...
Yeah, but you were
almost
only,
passed out.
You were the only one laughing at that.
I was. I think I nearly shouted out loud, like, he still has the circle over his heart. Oh, it was amazing.
Take a shower, yo.
That's right. Well, that's where they discovered it, in the shower. They're showering together, and it's still there. And I'm like, what the fuck? It's still there.
I guess that lipstick is rather weatherproof.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some animated film called Peter Rabbit.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Cash Grab.
Are you going to see it?
Doubtful.
Yeah. February 16th, friends, Black Panther is upon us.
Yeah, man.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
We're the only people who haven't seen it.
Yeah. And everybody else who's seen it has really enjoyed it. So.
Yeah. I can't wait. How could this movie not be great?
Yeah.
Ryan Coogler is amazing.
Yeah.
All the actors are amazing.
Yeah. Chadwick Boseman and Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah. Kendrick Lamar made the soundtrack.
Oh.
Come on.
Oh, you can't miss with like, this, like, dude.
The stars are aligned, my friends.
This looks amazing.
And a new Aardman film, makers of Wallace and Gromit.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Early Man.
Yeah.
The first one with actual humans.
They've
never made an actual human movie before.
Yeah, it's always animals and stuff.
Yeah, like Chicken Run.
Wallace
and Gromit. I can't wait. I love Aardman.
Yeah, dude.
They're super great.
Yeah. They're pioneers of animation.
Totally.
Yeah.
Anybody who says they don't like Wallace and Gromit, don't trust
them. Yeah, they're replicants.
Yeah.
And they need to be, what's the word they use in retired?
Yeah.
They need to be retired.
They are that certain series of replicant that needs to be retired.
That's right.
Yeah, that's it. But we finally got some stuff to review.
Hell yeah, we do. I'm excited, man.
If anybody listens next episode.
They do. That's right. Now, man, like, this is just what happens when Hollywood decides we're going to release everything from April to July and September and November. Everything else, you.
Yeah.
That's their release schedule.
We should honestly just take a break in January every year.
I think so. That's probably a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that idea because, yeah, this sucks.
It always seems to happen anyway, just by accident. So
that's true. Yeah. I got sick this time.
It's all good.
All good.
But that's it.
Cool. Well, I guess we should tell people where they can find us online. You're on Twitter, right?
I am at SoundJam69. Say hi.
And I have a Twitter account. It's at Adrian_Charlie. The show has a Twitter account. We're at @TheGreen_Screen. We're also on Facebook. We sometimes post on there. We run a search for The Green Screen of Death. Hit like, and you can check us out on Facebook. You can also subscribe to our show through other podcast platforms such as iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play. Run a search for The Green Screen of Death. Hit that subscribe button. And if you're feeling frisky, leave a rating and a comment. That'll help us find a wider audience. That's all we ask from you. We will not be posting a Patreon link where you can give us $1 per episode or something like that. That's not our thing. We're not famous enough.
5 stars. Spirit of the Beehive is a great film.
Yeah. Take the moment to cast some shade my way. Even if you're not inside Canada, I've signed up for a service where I can get reviews sent to my inbox once a month, no matter which country you're in. So
nice.
Kind of cool. Nothing lately, though. It's sad. We're not famous enough.
No.
And we're cool with that.
I don't care. I really don't. Sorry.
That's right. Same here, dude. So enough of that. Next episode, we'll have more stuff to talk about. And thanks very much for checking us out. We'll talk with you next time.
Peace.